Hi, this is Mark Waid, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 348 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Todd, joined with Joe. How are we doing today, Joe?
Are you sure it's 348, not 248?
I think it's 348. It's in the email you sent me, and there's no way anything you've ever sent me is wrong, so.
I think we need to go back to the old numbering. Take out the Three Guys from Nowhere episodes and the, I almost forgot the name of the other show, Weekly Long Box episodes, and just go back to what our regular numbering was.
And hopefully it'll be near, well, we're almost at Tree Fitty, so we can't do that.
Mm.
Then if the old number is closer to an anniversary number, we'll go back.
Right. We'll it's just the change Marvel. The number arbitrarily as need be, really mess up the iTunes algorithm.
That's right. It's the Marvel way, you know.
Oh, and I do just want to take a moment to say this. Every once in a great while I'll go and check, but I do want to thank our listeners, and I'm being completely serious with this, for not leaving any new iTunes reviews.
What?
Because they don't mean anything. iTunes reviews, in the grand scheme of things, do not mean a lick. So I do want to thank you all for taking our cue and not giving people iTunes, giving us, and hopefully you're not giving anyone else, iTunes reviews either.
Two things on that. I miss the days when they would give us iTunes reviews that we had to read as wrestlers.
Right.
But I also wish that nobody ever sent one with a classic, like, or even a new, like, a Doctor Who speech. So you had to do one, because I had to do all the wrestling.
Right, which just goes to show you wrestling is better than Doctor Who, as we've discussed multiple times.
I think Doctor Who fans are more worldly, and they just don't have time to be leaving reviews. That's what it is. And second of all, I know very good podcasts about fan fiction mashups that are begging, for iTunes reviews.
Well, the less said about them, the better.
Pretty much.
So what do we got on the show this week, Todd?
Early comics that can be sold even earlier.
Oh, boy.
San Diego tickets making you feel special when you get them. And a scary moment at the Phoenix Comic Con. Also, we have con news, speaking of cons, free digital books and sales. What we read last week, both Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 21, and infamous Iron Man number 8.
So famous, it's infamous?
That's right, and I got the bait and switch on this issue, but we'll talk about that later. What we're looking forward to this week, Todd's, there's not one, not two, not three, but four Todd's Art Attacks. Can you believe that? It's sweeping the nation.
It's making a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years.
That's right. This week, Todd and Joe have issues is Hitman 34, the classic Superman issue. And at the end of the show, we're going to talk about The Flash season finale, season 3. It's all over now. It's in the books.
The comic books?
Yes, now you're catching on to all the good wordplay that we can have on this show.
Oh, my goodness. So, let's get right into it. You had mentioned about DC Comics, of course. DC's big summer event, I guess, but it's not really an event, right?
I think this is the like little thing that they're trying to kickstart some other new titles and characters, because I think their event book is going to be that Doomsday, even though it's not what's it called? Doomsday Clock. Doomsday Clock, yes.
But that's not coming out till November. So this would be their summer event, if you will, which is going to be a thing that using the Batman name to try to launch a bunch of new titles that we had spoke about a couple months back when they announced them at C2E2?
I believe that's where it was.
Right. So the kickoff of this, which is Dark Days, The Forge, DC has allowed retailers to sell those books early, getting them at midnight. That's just 2 weeks away from the release of this. And DC has also said, hey, you know what? Any of other books that are coming out that day, you want to sell those a day early too, go for it.
Feel free.
So, remember when that used to be the thing?
What, that early selling books?
Like having those midnight sales? It seems like Marvel's eased up on those.
Well, it seems like anytime Marvel gives up on something, DC picks up the ball and runs with it now. But and you know what? The comic shops don't have to worry about their secret shoppers this time around. And they do happen, Joe.
Oh, do you have a tale of experience of this?
Yes. First of all, I know that comic shops get sent emails after the secret shopper. They don't tell you who they were, but they come in and you get the report that the secret shopper leaves. And I've been in there on a Tuesday because I'll go in on Tuesdays, get my books, pull them because I don't have a list in triplicates like some psychotic people.
Right.
And I'll go pull them and I'll come in on Wednesday and pick them up. And that way I do the pull post and all that other stuff.
Get the picture of the books the day before and all that.
Oh, yeah. The whole Magilla. Like, people say I don't do anything on this show, but I'm like Atlas, baby. The shoulders of Atlas. So... when I'm in there getting my books, you'll hear somebody come in, somebody who I've never seen in the shop before, usually holding a piece of paper, and it will go like this, excuse me, sir, or madam, depending on who's working, do you have, and it's never, it's like, it's always like the big book and then like usually like a little book or something like that. It's like, do you have Crisis on Infinite Earths and Nailbiter? And it'll be like, yes, but they come out tomorrow. We get them early. The whole spiel. There's a spiel that I hear every time. And they'll be like, oh, well, I'm picking them up for my son, or I love these books. And then usually somebody at the shop will go like, well, how are you enjoying the storyline right now? And that is usually, boom, the tip off right after that.
Do they just do they drop their piece of paper and like leave the cutout of their body as they go through the wall?
Yeah, the smoke outline of them. Yes. Of them. And it's just, hey, what's that? Just point and run. So yeah, I've seen many secret shoppers over, because they're always they're new and they're always asking for books that come out that day, and they always look like they don't know what they're talking about.
You would think that they would hire people who were, like, smart to the business of comic books.
Right.
And you would think that if multiple secret shoppers, like, oh, we know that this is the way the conversation goes. I come in, I ask for the new hot book and something else. They say, we get them early, but we can't sell them till the next day. I say, I'm a big fan of the book. They say, how are you enjoying the story so far? Then we run away because we didn't prepare that far.
Mm-hmm.
You would think they would prepare for that next step by now, because they've been doing the secret shopper thing for a while, have they not?
Right, but it's usually different secret shoppers. It's not always the same person. So,
but what I'm saying is, even if it is a different person, they've got to be smartening up that different person every time of saying, like, okay, go in and ask for this.
Right.
So I mean, it doesn't have some sort of script that they're following, just like the script that we follow for this show, that they should be able to add like an extra page to that script of like, oh, here's some cliff notes about the book that you're going in for, to hit the bullet points of the things that you could discuss, so that when they ask you the follow-up question, they ask every single one of our other secret shoppers, you don't have to run away because you don't have the answer.
Right. But I don't know. It's funny, though. I just find it amusing.
That's me attempting to plan ahead, but what do I know?
That's true. Speaking of following scripts, I just got followed by somebody who likes frozen dairy treats. But that is between me and you.
Oh, you'll have to tune into After Dark this week to find out more about that one.
That's right.
So, speaking of ham-fisted segues that I really can't figure out, Todd sent me a story that people are now starting to get in the mail. They're passes for San Diego Comic-Con, which is about a little less than 2 months away. But they come in a fancy box, and they're already in this laminated thing, and it also gives you a pin.
San Diego Comic Con 2017, and it's I saw this and I kind of like smiled because I really like this idea, because these cons are so exclusive now. To get the tickets, you have to like throw elbows on the internet to get them and everything. That I think this is really cool. It makes you feel like, you know, for all that money that you spend on these tickets, and they're starting to, you know, do, I know at least the New York Comic Con, I don't know if San Diego still has 4-day passes, but, you know, they're starting to do this scam at New York Comic Con that they don't have 4-day passes. They only have 1-day passes anymore, so they could sell more passes for more money. Just getting something back, anything back for that large chunk of change that you're throwing out seems cool. And I like the pin and the box and all that. And I like the fact that they show the picture of the laminated pass like you always get. And it's, once again, it's The Walking Dead, the TV show, which I think New York and San Diego are going to have Walking Dead TV show passes like 10 years after the show's off the air. I've never seen going to New York since Walking Dead has premiered, I think maybe not the first year, but after that, every year seems to be Walking Dead passes. So I don't know. It just seems like a cool little extra thing that I think all cons should do, or give you something extra. And it's sent to your house, so you don't have to go to the con, get it, and schlep it around for 8 hours if you don't have anywhere to put it down.
I'm more distressed by the pins. When did the pins become a thing?
The pins are new. I don't think I've ever seen pins for Comic-Cons.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen stickers. I don't know who'd want those, who'd make somebody get stickers from a Comic-Con and bring them back. But I've seen shirts, I've seen other stuff, but I've never seen pins to a Comic-Con. So this is a new thing.
Not so much as pins to the Comic-Con. But more so pins to, in general. Like, I know pins were a thing with Disney.
Mm-hmm. And the Olympics.
Well, the Olympics aren't real.
Are they fixed, too?
Well, there is a lot of different nonsense going in with that. But, again, let's not go crazy.
Yeah,
but
well, that's
now
your
all sex. Of a sudden, I see more and more people having exclusive pins for their whatever it is,
like their Kickstarters or their this or that, or I don't know. Maybe it's the listen. You know how you were with stickers,
right?
I had margarine tubs full of pins over the years. And I was the guy in high school who had a baseball cap covered in pins, whether it be rock and roll or didn't you see me tweeting out a while back from the 90s? I had all those like DC comic pins that I bought, like Starman and Sandman stuff and Preacher. It was like, if DC had a pin at the time, I bought it.
Okay. So okay. So how about this? I'm down with if you, as Todd the person, wants to purchase pins because you're super into pins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see, and this goes, I think where a lot of it comes to is like the big box subscription services too. As part of whatever the theme month for whatever big box subscription service thing you're involved with is, part of what you get as all of that collectibles for that month is you get a pin commemorating whatever that month's theme was.
Okay, now what if in these big box services, it was a sticker commemorating whatever it was that theme of the box was? Would you be okay with that?
Well,
yes, you would be fine with that.
I would be fine with that, but here's my logistics there. Mm-hmm. A sticker is easier to me to display than a pin is. A pin seems like more of an upfront cost to the person giving out the pins than a sticker does. I don't know what the going rate on pins is these days, but I would assume that a sticker gets the same thing done that a pin does for an eighth of the price.
Right, sure.
I'm looking pricing at it from now, a cost effective.
Of course you are. Of course you are. That's why we don't have any Long Box Heroes pins. But
you give me a price on pins, Todd, and they're less than the stickers, we'll have Long Box Hero pins tomorrow.
Okay, now, are you going to trifle me on what the difference between a pin and a button is? Because I know Because I know you've had buttons on your bag that when you come in the shop.
And I've probably had pins on it as well, but those were pins that I went out of my way that I purchased because I really wanted them or whatever it was. But a button at least seems cheaper to me.
Right, but I don't know. I think this is, as I call it, Joe being Joe again, where it's like, they're giving you something. If you have a big box thing, it doesn't really matter. Like, I don't know. I look at it as if you get a sticker, you'd be thrilled. But a pin, you're like, that's too much trouble for Joe, a pin. I don't know what to do with it, how to display it. Just chuck it in the garbage. I don't know. That's the way I look.
They go in my drawer on my desk with, like, all the other knickknacks and doodads and, like, wires and all sorts of other jazz that I don't need.
And what do you think I do with stickers that I get? They go in the drawer with all my little doodads and things. Yeah. I actually have, remember those stickers, those Marvel stickers I gave you a long time ago? The little ones from like they were like bubblegum in packs of cards when Marvel cards. I found a Marvel Girl one that I know you want to go with the ones that I gave you.
I think, unfortunately though, I think I gave those all to Asa.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to keep those forever and never. No, I don't care. You can give this one to Asa too for, you know.
He doesn't like stickers as much as I do anymore.
I hope he grows up to. I hope he's a pin boy, is what I hope.
A pin boy?
That's right, yes. He's all like, Father, oh, Father, I would like to purchase these pins.
He likes stickers, but not as much as I do.
Oh, I hope he learns to love pins.
I don't think he could. I wouldn't trust him with pins right now. He can't be. He could barely be trusted with scissors.
I'm gonna get him Plants versus Zombie pins.
He has Plants versus Zombie stickers. He likes those. Whereas, like, if it's a sticker of something that he likes, he'll be like, "Oh, okay, I'm into this because it's the thing that I like." First sticker, second. Whereas me, it's like, "Ooh, stickers. Is it something I like? It doesn't matter. It's a sticker."
I know you got a sticker of Deadpool as Doctor Who, and you're like, nope, I don't want this.
You know what? I think I still have it.
No, you gave it to me.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Because I know you like Doctor Who.
Yes, that's why. That's the one sticker Joe doesn't want.
Right. There might be some urine residue on it, but, you know, it's just residue.
That's okay. That'll bleach right off.
It wasn't in the urinal, but, you know, it's close enough for a little splashback. Oh, boy. Let's go away from this lighthearted story.
I was just wondering how you were going to segue this. I really was.
Speaking of exclusivity at comic book conventions.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the conventions, as we do coming up here in the next segment, is we try to cover whatever some of the bigger conventions, more noteworthy conventions that are happening this weekend are. The big one that happened this past weekend was Phoenix Comic Con, but unfortunately there was a very dire situation at Phoenix Comic Con this past weekend, where one of the patrons showed up with an arsenal of weapons. That included several guns, three handguns and a shotgun, and a knife, and throwing stars, and pepper spray. And his intent was to go there and do something to the Green Ranger, Jason David Frank.
Mm-hmm. And he apparently thought he was the Punisher?
Yes.
So, obviously he's unhinged. But to me, that's, you know, pretty scary, and I see that, like, you know, they're talking about metal detectors at future shows, and the big ones at New York, I think they had them the one year, but you had to put your bags off on the side. They look in your bags, but it's just like they're looking at, like, you know, whatever. They don't even care when you go through. But that's kind of scary, and they're changing the fake weapon policy because for their cosplaying, because, like, you know, trying to get in, sometimes those weapons, those fake ones, look just as real as the real ones. So luckily they caught it. I always wonder if something weird is ever gonna happen at a con that I'm at someday.
Right, you know, they've constantly been, I don't want to say like cracking down, because that's not the right word, but they've definitely, over the last several years, have been changing their procedures when it comes to cosplay, when it comes to weapons, and also when it comes to, you know, anything that can be perceived as a weapon or concealed, or things of that nature. And obviously it takes something like this, and luckily it did not turn into a tragedy, you know?
Mm-hmm. They caught it.
And I'm of the mindset that I could really go either way with this, because you can't, in 2017, you can't judge, you can't profile, you can't, you know, you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. That said, you know, I'm of the mindset of, if it looks suspicious, it probably is suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is suspicious, it doesn't hurt to say something.
Check it out, right?
The worst case scenario is you're wrong. And the best case scenario is you could have prevented something terrible from happening.
Exactly. Now, something like this would, how prevalent would some, like you thinking something like this could happen again in your mind going to a con? Just curious.
Hmm. I would say I don't give it any concern.
Same here, probably.
But when it comes to these sort of things, I'm constantly of the mindset of like, well, I never mix in with those people, or I'm never around people who are doing XYZ, or, you know, if someone has something that looks even slightly realistic, I kind of, like, keep a distance. But, like, even my son knows to kind of stay away from stuff like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, because, like I know this is, it wouldn't even, now, I mean, seeing, honestly, I probably don't think it would affect me one way or another, and I'm the oblivious type. Like, I've never noticed cosplayers with weapons before, unless they've hit me in the head as they're walking, because they don't know how to, which is one of my pet peeves with cosplayers who have stuff that they don't keep track of while they're walking and smack you with. But I don't even think, like, I've ever looked around, and I'm so, like, my brain is so, like, easily distracted and rattled that even if I go to, like, New York Con, I wouldn't have my head on a swivel regardless. I'm just like, oh, I'm going to get a sketch from this guy, or I'm going to look for these back issues. It's just so, like, not me to, like, think about those things and look around, even though this has happened in the future. It probably, you know, won't make me be on my toes, if you will. But that's me.
Right, but in my mind, I think a lot of it is, if you're a celebrity, I think a lot of times your guard should be up anyway. That, and a lot of times, true, your guard is up.
Now, speaking of celebrities, on a side note, is I don't know how many times I've been in line to get my photo with a celebrity, or to, you know, not too many times, but I've done it, or in line to get an autograph for something. And, you know, it was mostly Doctor Who related recently, but there was a few others. And every time I've been in line, somebody hands the celebrity before me or after me something edible or you can drink, as like, oh, have this. And I'm like, in my mind, that's got to go right in the garbage after they leave, right? It has to.
Think.
I would
eat. Okay, now see, you would think, and I was actually just going to say, I think it depends on what your belief in your self-worth is.
Mm-hmm.
I know I mentioned it, I think, on the show last week, but Adam Carolla always mentions when he goes to, you know, he talks a lot about food, and most specifically, the food that he never got as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll go, and he'll do a live show or a signing or something, and fans will bring him like 6x9 pans of like goulash.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll take it home.
He's nuts.
Right. Or like somebody will bring him like a lasagna that they've made for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll say, do you want this tray or pan or whatever it is back? Nope. All right. I'm taking it home to eat with me.
Oh my God. Now, see, I think a celebrity would be poisoned faster than shot at a comic convention.
Now, if it was something that was wrapped up, if it was something that's sealed, go for it. But that's why if you're a celebrity, you have to have those food tasters.
Ah. See, I have deep, deep trust issues with that stuff.
Okay.
So, I don't know. So,
wait a second.
What's the matter?
What about the people that bring in cookies at the comic book shop? You eat those.
Now, that's a little different because I know those people. These aren't total strangers.
Do you really know them?
That is true. Well, you know, mostly it's people that I'm friends with that it's the food that I've gotten, or I've gotten to know them over the years at the shop. And really not too many people, well, people still do bring stuff. And your wife has dropped cookies off, I believe.
Correct.
She doesn't do it anymore because AC eats them all. So
yes,
I'm
he
mad
does.
So I'm mad at him. But
I offered to bring you a 24-ounce bowl of unused icing.
And I said, yes, please. Just hook it to my veins, but you didn't. So I don't know. I think there's a light years difference between getting food from people that you shop with and talk to many, many times over the years. And hey, here comes, you know, someone out of the crowd and just like, hey, stranger who I've never seen and will never see again, eat my food.
Oh boy. That's why you have the official food tasters. I'm just saying.
Let's test that theory at the next convention we go to. People, bring Joe food. He's just going to eat it all, right?
Yeah, you know what? Next, we're going to talk about it on Longbox Heroes After Dark this week. I will make a rare public appearance at Break the Barrier, Old Forge, Pennsylvania, Sunday, June 11th, 3 p.m. bell time. If you're coming to the show, bring me something to eat, and I will eat it in front of you. As long as it doesn't have peppers or anything spicy in it, I will eat it.
Okay, and
I'll eat it right in front of you.
Most likely, I'll be there, and bring me stuff, and I won't eat it in front of you. I will take it home for later, wink, and it won't go in the garbage, I swear.
Oh my goodness. Well,
unless
Todd,
I know
you. This is why you and I are completely different people.
That's right. You know what? Bring me gift certificates to food you want me to eat.
But Todd, what if I bring you a loose styrofoam tray of nachos to eat there, and I want to enjoy you eating those nachos in front of me?
Or oh, you want to enjoy me enjoying the nachos? You want to enjoy me enjoying the nachos?
Yes.
That's okay. If you brought me nachos, I'd eat them, Joe.
Okay.
You're on my good list of food eating. If you bring me the pizza with the onions, I'll eat it. All good.
All right. So we're all over the place with the news segment here today.
Oh, my God. How did we turn that dire thing into that?
So, speaking of conventions, Todd.
Right.
There's a bunch of conventions this weekend. There is the Lake Effect Comic-Con in Mentor, Ohio. Actually, Mentor, Ohio is... And it's all, and I'm just putting it together now, the dum-dum that I am when I do my notes. The Lake Effect. Mentor is right by the lake in Ohio, and the weather can go from snowing to raining to 80 degrees all within the same hour. It's crazy.
That's the Lake Effect.
That's the Lake Effect. They named the convention after it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they named the dog Indiana.
I-N-D-Y.
Oh, my goodness. The Albany Comic Con in Albany, New York. WichaCon in Wichita, Kansas. Quad Cities Comic Con in Davenport, Iowa. That's two Davenport, Iowa comic book conventions in the last month. Davenport is popping these days.
That is the hub of comic collecting, I guess.
Yes. But the two biggies this weekend, one, of course, would be the Niagara Falls Comic-Con in Niagara Falls, New York. It's on the New York side, this one.
Slowly I turn.
And this has a stacked lineup, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Englund is going to be there.
I thought you were going to say Robert Stack, but anyway, go ahead.
Butch Patrick is going to be there.
Monsters, and I know from Nightmare on Elm Street, Robert Englund, but
right.
Go ahead.
Sting, the professional wrestler, a.k.a. Kabuki Sting, or what do you call him?
I call him there's Kabuki Sting and there's Crow Guy.
Crow Guy.
Or not you call him Surfer Sting. I don't believe in Surfer
right.
Sting. He's like, but go ahead.
Tito Santana.
I've seen him recently.
Right. Mean Gene Okerlund.
Oh my goodness. He's still around?
Yes. Ryback, who we'll give a little bit of shout out at the end of the show here.
Oh boy.
And Paul Micken? McGann? What's his?
Oh my god. Oh my. Capolitti? Is he going to be there?
No, Capolitti taking a rare weekend off. I don't know what his problem is.
So the eighth can swoop in, Paul McGann?
Yes.
You could take your Alien 3 copy to get signed by him. He was in that, too.
Oh boy. No, thank you.
What?
And then Wizard World is in Philly this weekend.
Let's go.
No. But when I read you the guest list, you might want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Norris is going to be there.
Whoa.
Gene Simmons of Kiss.
You just owe him a quarter for saying his name.
Right. Bray Wyatt.
Oh, I know him.
Both of the Hardy Boys will be there. Will of the Wisp and Broken.
Oh my goodness, Delete.
Alexa Bliss.
I know who that is.
And that's... Enzo Ancass.
Enzo? I want to meet
Ancass.
Him.
Enzo Ancass.
Wow, I want to meet Enzo because, you know, he's going to be forever in the WWE, so I might not get my chance later on down the line. He'll be busy. Are you all right?
Anyway. Also this weekend, if you can't hit to any of the conventions, because the Wonder Woman movie is coming out this weekend, mm-hmm. this is also Wonder Woman Day, just like they tried to do with Batman Day, of course, and there's a Doctor Who Day that's happening later on the summer, but definitely go, and we'll have the links to all of these conventions, and of course the Wonder Woman Day stuff in the show notes, to check those out to see what Wonder Woman Day festivities are taking place in your area.
That's right, and you can even go to certain ice cream shops, if you want.
Right. Allegedly, there might be an on-location remote filmed at one of those locations eating ice cream this weekend.
That's right. But that's hard ice cream. That's not the soft serve.
I'm going to go and... You know what, though? I'll say this. At this particular ice cream location, even their hard ice cream is very creamy.
Oh, so you're saying it's like soft-ish is what you're... Gotcha.
Right. So all that'll be included in the show notes, of course, as will information about the soon-to-be-named network at soon-to-be-named-network.com or soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com, where you can check out all of the shows in the soon-to-be-named network, such as more episodes of this show, Long Box Heroes After Dark, Fresher in Parlance, Profane Argument, Puzzle Warriors 3, Podvocacy, AIM Downsides Podcast. Now, these are the ones that have had episodes recently. There are other shows, such as Talkin' Gimmicks, Paladins of Ultron, Prime Defective, Prodigal Sons Podcast. I don't know what's going on with those shows. Actually, I kind of know what's going on with Paladins of Ultron. Jason Kirk had to move a box so he couldn't do a podcast.
That's right. He had a whole computer in his box. That's a reason, you know?
And Jason knows I kid because I love, but he'll be back on track with Paladins of Voltron, just like they were back on track with Podvocacy this past week. They actually put a bunch of episodes in the can.
Ooh.
So it was seamless as though they did not miss any time, but I knew what was up.
Well, they better let him out. No, wait, that's Prince Albert in a can.
Exactly. So links here, of course, for digital sales and freebies. Dynamite is having a sale on the books in the Pathfinder series. The publisher Aftershock is having a sale on pretty much their entire line of everything that they've published to date. Marvel is having a sale on the Ultimate X-Men book, and I think that might be tying into something that's going on in the current X-Men books. Call it a hunch. But DC, of course, in conjunction with their Wonder Woman movie coming out this weekend, they are having a sale on a variety of Wonder Woman stuff. You can get that new 52 run that so many people love so much on sale in trade. And we always like to mention this here as well. Whenever Rebirth stuff is on sale, which DC claims they will not be doing very often, Those are on sale. The first four issues of the current Wonder Woman book are 99 cents a pop, and the next three after that are $1.99. So if you were looking to check out that run on Wonder Woman, by all means, you could check that out now. Price to move. And just looking through here to see if there's anything else that pops out at me. You know, some classic Wonder Woman stuff, the Conversion series, and also the New 52 series is in single issues and in digital trades as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Wonder Woman. She's been in some good comics. Most of them are on sale this weekend. Go check them out.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. The original Greg Rucka run, too, is in there.
That was a good run.
That was a good run. Just kind of going over everything there. So, the freebies, of course, I think we had updated that list last week. Nothing new. They usually keep that list the same for about 3 weeks worth of time. Eternals, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, Ultimates, and Warlock are the current Marvel freebies. And like I said, I think the Free Comic Book Day stuff will be released as digital freebies here probably in the next week or so. I'll be keeping an eye out for that, so once those do become available, I can let you know.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, let's get into what we read from this past week. Todd, you were most looking forward to Infamous Iron Man number 8 to be coming out this week. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, with art by Alex Maleev.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into it.
That's right. And I was mistaken as to what issue this was, but it's a Doctor Doom issue, so I'm always looking forward to it. I thought it was going to be Reed, the ultimate Reed and Doctor Doom having it out, and the cover kind of shows you that.
Believe that.
Right, but, and I think this is the first time in the history of comics that a comic has had a misleading cover. The first time. But I could be wrong on that. I'll have to fact check that. But basically the story is that A. Reed Richards shows up to talk to the Thing to discuss plans for the infamous Dr. Doom, who's in the, you know, Iron Man-like armor, and he's trying to prove to him who he really is, telling stories of the past, while Riri Williams, who is Ironheart, is looking for Dr. Doom in Latveria, finds him, and he discusses how he needs to, he's having visions, but he needs the thrill of battle to bring them on, and basically is begging her to attack him, while the Tony Stark AI in her armor is just like, you are so out of your depth. This is literally Doctor Doom. You need to get out of here. And I found it very interesting. I found the Reed Thing half of the book much better, though, because, you know, I miss Reed Richards, though, you know, in your take, this is really Ultimate Reed, don't you think? Trying to get him to do his bidding.
Well, I'll say this. The way that he was drawn in the book and the shirt that he was wearing, for the first couple panels, I thought it was Jamie Madrox.
You know what? I'll totally agree with you on that, too.
And then when he started telling the story of like them being in college together, I'm like, did I miss a story where Jamie Madrox was in school with the Fantastic Four? And then I'm like, oh, no, this is Ultimate Reed, yes.
Mm-hmm. But Thing thinks he's Reed? I don't know.
Well,
because he looks a lot like him.
And again, I have no problem in spoiling at least this part of the this part of it, right?
Right, right.
He essentially tells, this Reed, Ultimate Reed, that we know, the readers know, is Ultimate Reed. Obviously, not the Reed Richards that this Ben Grimm knows. I know it gets a little confusing. But he says, okay, whether you believe me or not, I do need you to go do something for me. I need you to go kill Dr. Doom for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just so brazen.
Yep, well, that's Ultimate Reed style. Or Jamie Madrox, whichever one. But, yeah, so I was kind of, like, taken aback by that. And I don't know, I want to see what, I don't think Thing would ever kill Dr. Doom, even if Real Reed begged him to do it. So I want to see where this goes. but also the subplot of the visions that Doom is having, and he finally has, of, you know, the person who shows up to, you know, lead him up down the path that he needs to go now. There's a whole nother story. I want to figure out how all that is happening. So I like this book. Like I said, if it was, I wish it was more the fight between Reed and Doom that I kind of thought was going to happen, but that's eventually going to come down the pipe. So I guess I can wait a few more issues.
Right. Build up, build up.
Yes, that's right.
Now, the only thing that I have to say, you know, that I only question is there are future issues of the Mark Waid Avengers book where this iteration of Iron Man, the Doctor Doom Iron Man, mm-hmm. either joins the team or teams up with them.
Right.
And Riri Williams is on the team, and the solicitation text makes it believe that Riri admires Doctor Doom, which doesn't exactly line up with the events that happen here.
Yet.
Yet. And that's the thing, yet. I'm sure there will be things that happen that do, but it just, reading this and then knowing that little bit from the future solicitations, I'm like, huh, something's not lining up exactly yet, but I'll give it a moment.
But I can kind of see it, because reading Riri in her own book is starting to see that she appreciates genius, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if she's going to fall for this new Doctor Doom charm and just respect the sheer genius of Victor. I could see that happening, maybe. You know what I mean? So maybe that's what's going to happen. But either way, I'm along for the ride. I'm reading both books. I'm not reading Avengers, so hopefully it'll play out in the two Brian Michael Bendis books that I'm reading.
All right, so moving on, and I know you read this book as well, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 21, the finale to the Prism of Time story arc. Mm-hmm. I do want to say I was not mistaken, but one of the things that I was hoping would happen in this book did not happen, and this is the first of at least one other time that we have to say from last week's episode, Todd called it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to give away too much spoilers here, but if you listen to last week's episode and you read this, you could put the pieces together of what Todd called.
Yes.
So
the shot.
Right. So Sarko, who is the one who dug up, and again, Krona's gauntlet that Hal was using to try to recreate the Green Lanterns. Hal had buried it. Sarko had found it. And was using it to try to destroy the core. Because right, it was a shame that the core, Green Lantern Corps, was sullying the good name of the Sinestro Corps. I destroyed the Green Lantern Corps. I could lead the Sinestro Corps back to the prominence that the great Sinestro had taken it to all those years before.
Mm-hmm. And he's from the future, so he's looking for... He has the gauntlet from the future, and Hal is like, well, I buried it so no one would find it. So if he has it from the future, I have to go find it now and destroy it, thereby wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey is going to mess everything up. And that's basically the premise. While the Green Lantern Corps and Sinestro Corps on Oa are trying to, on Mogo, are trying to hold the line from the prism creatures that Sarko has sent to destroy them all.
So part of how the revelation in this happens is Rip Hunter has a Green Lantern ring. Rip Hunter brought it from the future. When one of the current Green Lanterns put that future ring on, it informed him of the information that helped them defeat Sarko.
Mm-hmm.
I may not be current on my Green Lantern lore. Is this something that normally happens?
No, but it... What do you mean, what normally happens? If you ask a ring a question,
yes,
it'll answer it from the database. Yes. Like, they have, like, you can ask, like, oh, like, what's the sentient creatures on this planet? They have, like an interface the rings have. So this one's from the future. It has knowledge of the future. And that's why John's like, I almost hooked this up and just read everything. And Rip was like, no, I knew you wouldn't. Because that's the kind of man you are. You know what would happen. and somebody else gets a hold of it, and they ask one question, and they get the information that they need to stop Sarko. But yes, you can do that with any Green Lantern ring. I'm not 100% on all the other colors, you know what I mean?
Correct.
Rings. Did that answer your question?
It did. Okay. It just seemed to me, like, I just don't remember that happening in other storylines, but then I don't remember other storylines where people have brought Green Lantern rings from the future to the past.
Right. Well, you've never even seen them do it in the present, ask the ring questions?
Well, ask the ring questions, yes, but for me, it was just that it was a ring from a different timeline that knows things from that timeline. Like, once the ring has brought back to a different timeline, wouldn't the existing timeline that it came from get mixed up?
No, because it's from the future. Oh, Green Lantern has time traveled in the past, so no. Mm-hmm. So I guess the ring would stay the same. It would still have the same information in it that it had when it came from the future. It's not like it would go, oh, I'm going to erase all that because I've gone into the past, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have the blueprints for Green Lantern rings on me, but I think I have them somewhere in the house. I'll go check and look up what they can do.
If anyone does, it'd be you. But all that is true. I've been greatly enjoying Venditti's run here on this side of the Green Lantern Corps.
You know what? You should really thank whoever got you on this book.
Listen, there's more books that you have recommended to me that turned out to be good than have not been good.
Very true. And I'm looking forward to where this goes. The only question I have is, I wish there was a certain other time-traveling hero who fixes things in time showed up too, but I wonder where he is. Yes, Wave Rider.
Hmm.
Actually, Booster is Wave Rider from Convergence now.
Oh boy!
Did you read any of the Convergence titles with Booster Gold?
Do those books count?
Well, here's the thing, Joe. The Superman ones do, because that's where the Dan Jurgens Convergence books and that mini come into the Superman titles that are going on now. Mm-hmm. So that Booster Gold became Wave Rider. So is Booster Gold Wave Rider in the Rebirth? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out in Countdown Clock or Doomsday Clock.
Countdown Clock. I hope so too.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing a comic called Countdown Clock now.
All right. Oh my goodness. So that covers what we read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern Time or so, sometimes a little bit later, we put up the poll post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them mailed to your house. However it is that you get your books, know what's coming out, be forewarned, be forearmed, be prepared, have enough bags and backs on the hand, so that you're not taking home a bunch of loose books without protection.
Yes. Damages can occur.
Now, two of the things that Todd and I are attempting to do this year, 2017. One, of course, we're attempting to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. But we're also keeping a tally of how many books we've purchased from each individual publisher. And then, of course, doing a tally of everything that we've purchased per publisher. And as of this week, the end of May 2017, 5 months in, we are tied up at exactly 246 books apiece.
Yes. That's not counting all the books I probably forgot.
Right, exactly. So you started, so you go first.
I'm looking at your list. And is the book you're looking forward to most The Return of Saga with number 43?
It would be The Return of Saga with number 43.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is also the book that you are most looking forward to coming out this week as well.
Yes, it is. Almost close was Old Man Logan 24, the end of the Lemire run, just to see how it's all going to wrap up.
Mm.
But I couldn't pull the trigger on Old Man Logan over Saga coming back.
And this is a tough week. I agree with you. You know, obviously it's a fifth week month, so it was kind of lean. If Saga wasn't out, And if Killer Be Killed wasn't out this week, it absolutely would have been that Old Man Logan book for me as well.
Right, and Killer Be Killed's up there, but I don't know. There's just something, and then Diodato taking over Old Man Logan art, and I forget who's writing the book. I'm like, I'm going to have to give that a try after they leave, so.
Oh, and this is a perfect opportunity for me to mention two things. One, getting the answer that I got as to why Doctor Strange 21 is shipping before Doctor Strange 20 with no real good explanation for me does not sit well with me.
Right.
And two, for some reason, on the Diamond Order list, Saga was not in the regular Image section. It was in, like, at the bottom of the Indie section.
I-N-D-Y.
I don't know if it was because it's the 25-cent issue this week.
That could be.
Yeah, and it threw off the algorithm, but, like, on the weekly packing list, because I had it on my list, you know, my list, the real list that matters, and I looked at the Image section, and it wasn't in there, and I'm like, what is going on? Why is it not in here? So then, you know, as I always do, I scan through the whole list, because there's, you know, other indie books that I get that don't have their own little section, and then I see Saga all the way down at the bottom, and I'm like, why did this happen? How did this happen? This is confusing to people who have a schedule and a certain way of doing these things.
Well, let me just take that. That didn't affect me. Let's take the one that did affect me.
Okay.
Was Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Because I went in and I'm pulling my books and I'm like, oh, Doctor Strange. And I pick it up and I see that it's Hopeless is writing it now, I think.
And it's a Secret Invasion tie-in, yes.
Right. So, not only are you giving me a book I don't need to read to read the end of the story that I'm reading, then you tie it into the giant storyline that I'm not reading. It immediately gives me a jumping off point after I get my last Jason Aaron, Chris Bacallo book, because I'm like, now I have to go back and read that to go for. I'm like, this is a cluster that I don't even want to get into. Just give me my last Doctor Strange and I'm out.
Right. And for me, I still have to keep Doctor Strange on my list, even though I don't want that issue. I have to keep it on my pull list until issue 20 comes out.
And are you getting the Secret Empire tie-in then?
No,
it wasn't on there. Okay, no.
Goodness, no.
So it is. It's a deterrent where now maybe if you had thrown that after and not a Secret Empire tie-in, I would have probably tried the book.
Right.
But your whole, you know, plan, new, whatever you've done here. Just
new creative team, even if it's a creative team that I'm familiar with, I've liked some of the stuff that Dennis Hopeless has written on, you know, Star-Lord and things of that nature. But you put him on, you put him on the book replacing, Jason Aaron. And then his first issue in his tying into the crossover, like you mentioned, it's like, yeah, this is a good point for me to get lost.
Mm-hmm. You're working to actually get me off the book now.
Yes.
It's the best way to put it. You're actively doing everything you can to make me not keep going on this book.
So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out all the past things that are on there, whether it be past pull posts, whether it be past Todd and Joe Have Issues, whether it be past episodes of this show, past episodes of Longbox Heroes After Dark. Everything that we've ever done is all located in that central location, longboxheroes.com. Also, there's a little button there for the store where you could purchase stickers or t-shirts with our fancy logo on it. And if you don't want those shirts or stickers, I'm sure Amazon has something that you need. Click the Amazon banner across the top of the page. Anything that you purchase through Amazon gives us a little bit of a kickback. As though we're referring you to this new thing called Amazon that you've never heard of before. Any way that they give us the money, I'll take it. We're not going to push any of the bounties or this, that, the other thing on you. If you listen to other podcasts, you know about them. You want to help us out and do it for us, that's great. If you don't want to, that's fine too. As long as you're listening to the show, you tell a friend, that's really all we care about.
Right.
Some of the notable purchases through the Amazon click-through this past week is, speaking of Doctor Strange, someone purchased the first two trades of the Jason Aaron run on Doctor Strange. Someone also purchased a Batman 66-style Funko Pop, which is super cool. And someone also purchased Tekken 7 for the PlayStation 4. I like the Tekken games. I think it peaked for me with 3. That was about the end of my ability to do okay at the games. Then it just got too confusing with too much 360 rotation and graphics and things like that.
And buttons.
Mm-hmm. I saw a 5-year-old kid today at my son's school wearing a Pac-Man t-shirt, and it filled my heart with pride.
Right, but it's probably some crazy 3-dimensional 6-button Pac-Man.
No, it was the, you know, the Pac-Man that you and I grew up with.
Waka 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 waka
waka. Yeah. So thank
That's
you to
my
anyone
Pac-Man
who...
impersonation, by the way.
Now, I knew exactly who it was. I didn't think it was someone else who says waka waka waka.
And you didn't think it was Fozzie?
Right, that's who it was. I couldn't think of Fozzie Bear.
Right.
Do you think they ripped off Pac-Man from Fozzie Bear? They have so much else in common.
They do, they do. They both tell terrible jokes.
Right.
But anyway. No, wait, that's me who tells terrible jokes.
Exactly.
Not Pac-Man.
So thanks to everyone who purchased anything through our Amazon click-through this past week. We greatly appreciate it. Of course, as Todd mentioned at the top of the show, Todd's Art Attack is back and with a vengeance.
That's right. We have 4 of them this week.
Right. 2 from friend of the show, Mark Cole. 1 was a page from Young Romance from 1972.
Issue 185.
Issue 185, and then pages from the Cullen Bunn book, The Sixth Gun, by Tyler Crook, which are some really nice Viking pages there.
I'm a big fan of the do's and don'ts of dating from Young Romance 185. I think that's fantastic. I want to say that's Carmine, but I'm probably wrong. I'm not good at that. But
it's by Paige Tyler... Peterson. It says right at the top of the thing there.
Is that who it says? No, Paige is the girl in the story.
Oh!
No, but it's spelled P-A-G-E, not P-A-I-G-E, the do's and don'ts of dating. But, yeah, I like that one. I like the little more than the Tyler Crook Sixth Gun, because I love those old romance, like, just totally, like, they don't apply a lot today, if you know what I mean. But then after that, we have another page from T-Bolt 712. I wonder if that has something to do with that book that you like, Thunderbolt.
Sure.
But sure, it's a Neat Catwoman by Tim Sale. Piece was stopped halfway through, so half inks, half pencils. Love it. And I actually enjoy that because you get to see how he works. You know what I mean? There's half done, and it's really nice because it's Catwoman from the waist up, but you get to see the rough pencils to see how he does, and that's a really nice Tim Sale piece. I'm not a big fan of his modern stuff, but that's really, really cool. I kind of want that. Steal that for me, Joe.
Okay.
Okay. And then the last piece is a Mitch Jarrod's piece from Batman 14, 2 prints from Clay Mann, the Batman and Catwoman kissing on the dock. And then the 2 prints are, I think, from, I don't know where. I don't know if they're covers or something from the Arkham books.
They look just to be kind of random prints he was probably selling. Maybe pinups or something from...
Right.
Who knows what. From a friend of the show, longtime listener. I would say Ultra Mass Mega Power listener.
Yeah, he did get that moniker a while back.
He did. Well, he did, and a few other people did as well. I think Dave Howard did, amongst a few others. I need to have a list of the Ultra Mega Mass Power listeners, but that's seems like it's right up my alley doing a list, but it also seems like work, so I'm torn.
Oh, it's work, then I'm in.
Right. And Dave there, also, he was at MegaCon this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
While he did not get any of the bountied people for Mark Picks, he did get Mark Picks with Greg Rucka and Tom King.
That is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. So Todd's Art Attack back in a big way. If you go to a convention this weekend, you have some art laying around that you just recently scanned or what have you, tweet it, tag us, and we'll retweet it, share it with the world, and share it with everyone.
That's right. Sharing is caring.
Sharing is indeed caring. So, one last thing, one last bit of business before we get into the season finale of The Flash. We have Todd and Joe have issues from this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Hitman number 34, written by Garth Ennis with art by John McCrae. Now, I had made a mistake in the talk-up of this. I thought this issue took place during Final Night. It does not. But the crux of this is Superman is on his way back from attempting to save a rocket ship that was exploding in space. He stopped off in Gotham City to kind of grouse a little bit with Batman. Batman kind of gave him the high hat, the Irish goodbye, if you will.
Yes.
And he ends up talking to Tommy Monahan instead.
Yep, on a roof, a random roof in Gotham. And they have a heart-to-heart. And I love it because of the fact that Tommy Monahan, who, you know, in the Hitman books, and especially Garth Ennis books in general, no superhero ever gets respect in any Garth Ennis book. In this book, Superman gets tons of respect from Tommy and, you know, by Garth, you know, writing Tommy. And just to see Tommy, this, you know, cursing, drinking, smoking, you know, killer on his best behavior talking to Superman is fantastic. To lighten up the mood as it starts, and then you go into Superman trying to save all the people on the space shuttle, and in the end, he does not save one of the astronauts, and in Garth Ennis's brilliance, he immediately shows how heavy this weighs upon Superman, and then of all people to help lighten that burden is Tommy explaining what he means to everybody in the world. It is by far one of the most brilliant issues I've ever read, in one of my favorite Superman issues of all time. And rereading this, it got hard at times because there was a ton of onions in my house while I was reading this again.
Uh-oh.
And I was kind of like, oh, and then dusty. It got dusty too at the same time. And I was like, I forgot how emotional and how much I loved this issue of Hitman.
Right. This is really good. This was one where, just due to time constraints, I had to actually read the issue of this in the trade that I have.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to reading it by other means, I assure you. And mm-hmm. in reading it in the trade, I'm like, oh boy, I just want to sit down and read the rest of this trade. Boy, I just want to sit down and read the rest of this run. Oh wait, I have a podcast to do. I can't.
That's right.
But yes, this is a great story, and as you mentioned, the respect that Superman gets in this book, this is one of those comics that I think people who don't like Superman should read.
Mm-hmm.
You will get a newfound respect and understanding of why Superman exists and what his place is, not only in the DC universe, but also in comics in general.
Right, and like I said, I like all this stuff. Like, just even Tommy smoking in front of him. He's like, oh, geez, man. I'm sorry. He's like, eh, do what you got. It's your life. You do you, brother, but you should see what it's doing to your lungs. Just fun stuff and heavy stuff at the same time. So pick it up. Go find it. You don't need anything else other than Tommy's a hitman who is going to help Superman through his problems, and you'll enjoy the issue.
Now, outside of this and the Hitman JLA book, I think this is about it that Garth Ennis wrote of Superman, yes?
I am pretty sure. Other than maybe there's some stuff in, like, with Six Pack, that he has delusions of Superman.
Oh, okay.
But you can't say it's actually Superman. So I don't know where else you would find him writing Superman.
So I say he should get a full run, even just a mini series or a something.
Mm-hmm.
They let anyone write Superman these days, so why not Garth Ennis? I'm sure he's got a story in him.
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe that was his story. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, some people just have that story, and they're like, this is what I want to tell. This is the way I feel about Superman. I don't have him. I don't have Superman fighting Brainiac stories. I just have how I look at Superman as the ultimate immigrant to America, which is a great plot line, a side thing in this, where Tommy talks about all the old baggage that immigrants bring to America and when they should just let it all go when they come. This book is much deeper than a Superman Hitman book should ever be. But I don't think maybe Garth has any more Superman stories in him. That's the way I look at it.
Interesting. Interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that he probably's got one more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
My theories are usually true, so.
Well, we'll see how true they are later on. Well, we do have one more bit of information, right, of course. I think that covers everything. I did just want to mention, of course, before we move on to what book you're choosing.
Right.
Is that that I forgot that this was, you know, well, first of all, I remember that this was part of the Bloodline storyline, right?
Right.
Who could forget Bloodlines?
Hitman came out of it.
Right. The same, like, time frame, probably, like, over the summer, Marvel did a similar gimmick with their annuals, where every annual debuted a brand new character,
mm-hmm,
and they were commemorated with a collector's card.
Oh, boy.
And you can't fault him for trying, but outside of Hitman, I don't think a single one of the characters between both companies had any staying power outside of the book that they appeared in, or maybe some of the people that showed up in the Marvel annuals had the pleasure of being killed in a Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe something or other.
But I actually have... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, how crazy is it that both the two major companies at the same time both decided, hey, let's do this gimmick with our annuals where we debut a whole bunch of new characters.
That's right. And out of all of them, only one ever stuck.
Right.
I'd have to look over those Marvel ones because I don't remember anybody coming out of it. But I know the DC ones, they tried a few. There was like an Argus Mini, and he was in Flash for a little bit. And then there was the Loose Cannon one, and there was another one. And it was like Gunfire was the other one. And then none of them stuck. None of them.
Okay. Let's go through the characters that were debuted in the Marvel books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to look for a comprehensive list of them, but the lists aren't as comprehensive as I'd like.
What was the name of the story? Did they have a storyline?
No. The only thing that connected them was that they were all in the annuals.
Okay.
Okay, so. You have Annix.
No.
Spider-Man villain. Bantam.
No.
Darkling.
Oh.
Blood no. Wraith.
No.
Cadre?
No.
Charon, C-H-A-R-O-N?
Charon, the guy, the river keeper who takes you to the dead.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I don't think he became anything, or she.
Now, okay, I'm going to save that one for last. Wild Streak?
No.
Killian, spelled K-Y-L-L-I-A-N?
Oh, he sounds murdery.
Dream Killer.
Sleepwalker book, I hope.
Darkhawk, very close. Oh, that's what I should have had you do, is guess what annuals they showed up in.
Right.
Hitmaker.
Hitman?
No, Hitmaker.
No. He makes hits.
The Assassin.
Ooh.
Lazarus.
Okay.
The Devourer. The Flame.
Nope.
Phalanx. Not the Phalanx from the outer space stuff.
Right, I was just going to say from the Annihilation books, too.
Right. Irish Wolfhound.
Mmm, there's a bar by that name near our comic shop.
Chaos, spelled K-H-A-O-S.
Of course, you have to put the K on there.
Nocturne.
No.
Now, I will say this. I do know Nocturne because it was in one of the Spider-Man annuals.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a couple appearances, at the very least, up to the Clone Saga.
I bet you they all have appearances to keep up the trademark, so mm-hmm. that really doesn't mean anything. All
right, so Raptor, Night Terror, Legacy, not, like, Legacy is a Silver Surfer villain in this instance.
Legacy went on to be somebody, though. Legacy was around for a little while. He was Captain Marvel after that.
Oh, he was?
Yes, he was a captain. Legacy was... I'm trying to remember. Legacy became somebody.
Oh, he became Genus Vell.
Yes, he's Genus Vell.
Okay, so there you go. There's one. I'll give you one. Empyrean. E-M-P-Y-R-E-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
Eradicator.
Not the DC superhero
character. No, this one has a K in the middle of his name.
Mm-hmm.
Tracer.
No.
Not Banky Edwards from Mallrats. Now, I'll say this. This is my personal favorite. From an Iron Man annual, a guy by the name of Face Thief.
Oh my goodness. That's a great name.
Now, while Legacy did become Genus Vell, I may have to give the nod and or tie to both X-Stream, that's X-Treme,
mm-hmm.
and Executioner, X-Cutioner, both from X-Men annuals, because I'm almost certain that they both got action figures.
They did, and X-Stream was supposed to be the third Summers brother.
He was.
Yes, and that got nixed right at the end. That I remember in a storyline. But I would have to give the nod to note. I'm going to give the tiebreaker. I'm making an executive decision on the show right here, Joe. Is it's Genus Vell, because he had an action figure too. He had a statue made from him from Bowen, and he had three ongoing series.
Fair enough.
As Legacy, he had a series which only ran 6 issues, granted, but then as Genus Vell, as Captain Marvel, he had 2 different runs, and that was a Peter David book, which they were all really one big story. And after Fallen Angel, his Genus Vell, Captain Marvel might be my favorite stuff by him.
I do remember that stuff being very good. Where is Genus Vell these days?
He died in Thunderbolts, in one of the later Thunderbolts run.
Gotcha.
Which was funny because he went to, do you remember black female Captain Marvel for a while?
Photon, sure.
Yeah, right.
Monica Rambeau. Well,
Monica Rambeau. She was Captain Marvel, and he went and to her and said, my father, blah, 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 can I have the name? And she was like, yes, you can have the name back. I'm going to become Photon. Well, when he was in Thunderbolts, he went crazy. Well, at the end of the Peter David run, he was crazy too. And he came back and he wasn't right. And he was like, you know what? I'm not worthy enough to carry, or something like that, to carry the name Captain Marvel. So I'm going to start calling myself Photon. And she went nuts in the Thunderbolt book. She's like, you're not taking my name twice. It's not happening. And it was pretty good. But then Baron Zemo, or whoever it was, who was the villain from
Zemo.
Thunderbolts? Zemo. I just don't remember how many Zemos there are, and if he was Baron or whatever. But he killed them to save the universe because his cosmic powers were going to rip the multiverse asunder, as often happens to multiverses. They get torn asunder. So he had to kill them to stop it. Oh my God, how do I know all that?
How do you just know that off the top of your head?
Because I loved, like, I literally bought a Thunder... I've never read a Thunderbolts book in my life, but they're like, Genus Vell's going to be it. I'm like, done, I'll take it. And then he dropped off the book, and I left. And that's when they were doing the double numbering at Marvel. It was like it had the little old numbering in the corner. And I was like, I'm lost on here because it was and it started as a Thunderbolts number one and then became the little corner numbers. And then it became those numbers, if you know what I mean. So my collection of Thunderbolts goes like 1 through 8, then like 100 to 108.
Just like I suggested we do with our numbering at the beginning of the show here today.
A good Genus Vell numbering of the long box heroes.
Absolutely.
So I'm tired after all that.
I know, it's been a long night.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got one more bit of business to take care of here, Todd. And that is the season finale of The Flash.
Back up. We have to mention next week's book. We went off on a tangent.
You're trying to push me to wrap it up, so.
No. I was just like, I actually got tired doing that. But I'm going to go with even a bigger book in my heart than Hitman number 34. And that is Sandman number 8.
Oh, boy. Going from the sound biggie of her to wings, biggie. Right?
Yep.
Look at me remembering and knowing stuff.
Wow, you're almost like me with Genus Vell.
Just as a side note, this is one of those books, to me, like that issue of Preacher we did a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
where I'm going to start reading this, and the flood of memories is just going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm just going to completely remember page by page, panel by panel, word balloon by word balloon of this book.
This is one of those I probably won't even need to read the book to do it. This is one of my all-time favorite issues.
Well, I know it's on the list, so I'm glad I didn't scoop your heat on this one.
Yeah, don't ladle my warmth, man.
Never. All right, so now we're going to get into Flash season finale talk.
Mm-hmm.
And one more time I have to say it, Todd, you called it.
Yep.
So this one we could be a little bit more direct in regards to. Of course, Wells used the image inducer thing to replace himself with Iris so that when Savitar thinks that he's killing Iris, he's really killing H.R. Wells, and therefore things do not go exactly as planned with Savitar. Now, a lot of stuff happens in this regarding the relationship between Barry and Savitar. And then, of course, as the battle... Okay, so Savitar gets his hands on the Speed Force bazooka thing. He kidnaps Sisko and makes Sisko make adjustments to it. And what exactly is Savitar's plan now?
Savitar's plan is to use the Speed Bazooka to shoot him with... alter the Speed Bazooka, and he is going to... become time, and there's going to be a version of him in every second from the beginning of the Big Bang to the destruction of the universe, and he will literally become a god. That was the plan-ish.
So, obviously, he's very trusting of Sisko in this regard,
mm-hmm.
because I knew that Sisko wasn't just going to do this, regardless of whatever Savitar was threatening him with.
Right.
And he turns it into a skeleton key, which releases Jay Garrick from that moment in time that Wally was previously trapped in. Mm-hmm. So now they're all together to fight Savitar, but before any of that happens, Barry gets the idea that, like, hey, maybe I can convince Savitar to join up with us. Even though he's been super evil, he's all messed up, he's tried to kill us, he's done all of these things, but maybe, just maybe, I could show him the good in the world, and he'll join up with us.
There's good in him, I know it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've discussed how a lot of times these episodes this season felt like filler. That subplot felt like it could have been its own episode.
Before the big baddie end. It's like, let's give it one try.
Right, and you spend a little bit more time, you do a little bit more with the relationships, you do a little bit of a tease, making people think that Savitar, Time Remnant, Barry will actually join up with them. And then you do the cliffhanger at the end, will he, won't he, and then you get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do it as, like, the last-ditch effort before he kills Iris.
Right.
And then again, of course, we get the cliffhanger ending where them taking Jay Garrick out of that moment in the Speed Force starts trying to destroy the rest of the world because it needs a speedster in its place. So Barry goes in and takes Jay's place in the Speed mm-hmm. Force. Barry's gone, no more Barry, and I guess no more show next season.
That's right, it's all over. Unless there's a new Flash. Was there ever a storyline where a character took over for Barry Allen as Flash?
Maybe.
Maybe that's what's going to happen, and maybe this is where Wally will have his identity outed, so he'll be the public Flash, and we'll get all the stories that, you know, with Wally that were regularly in the, you know, before the New 52 or something like that. I could see them trying to do that. I could literally see them trying to make Wally the Flash for a little while and have Barry's character show up a la Jay Garrick as a mentor for a little bit.
Oh, there you go. Let me go look at Barry's IMDb, yes. Grant Gustin's, to see if he's filming something this summer.
Right. And but while we're talking about the episode as a whole, while you're doing that, I enjoyed the episode. I thought it was good. I don't think it was the greatest of the three seasons of the endings. But when Sisko made the skeleton key and Jay Garrick comes out, I will cheer every time John Wesley Shipp comes is in the costume wearing that helmet. I'll be like, every day, give me the John Wesley Shipp Golden Age Flash TV show, and I'd be fine with it. And give me the helmet prop because I'm already saving my pesos for it.
And that's that was a good moment. That was a great moment. I'm glad it wasn't spoiled.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of knew because I was like, they're not going to leave Jay in the Speed Force at the end of the series. You know what I mean? But I didn't think Barry would have to. I thought they would have destroyed it and not destroyed it, but they all would have stayed out. I was kind of shocked Barry had to go in to take his place.
Right. And because, you know, obviously I forgot that the plan was to trap Savitar in there. That was the plan mm-hmm. all along. And then when they didn't trap Savitar in there, I completely forgot that, like, oh, yeah, somebody needs to replace him until, like, everything starts falling apart.
Right. And a subplot that we didn't get to is Caitlin turns and comes back, but she doesn't want to take the cure that Dr. Alchemy made for her to not be Killer Frost anymore, and she's got to go off and find her own way. So it looks like the second Wells, not the Zoom Wells, but the Wells from Earth 2 is going to be joining up on the team, and maybe the new scientist who was, you know, in love with HR is going to stick around next season, maybe? I'm guessing probably. We'll see.
Maybe Caitlin will go join up with Legends of Tomorrow.
Right, and that's where so they need somebody to replace HR who died, so you have the Wells come back, and then you need somebody to replace Caitlin, so that scientist will replace, and now we have the team all back together.
Right.
All the pieces are back. As they call it in writing, the illusion of change. Did you ever hear that?
Yes.
Right, so all the characters, we have the same type of characters everywhere, they're just slightly different. Illusion of change, which I had an interesting argument watching Kurt Busiek and Peter David at a con arguing with a fan who was a blogger 20 years ago. So you know he was cool. And when they asked, he's like, yeah, I don't believe in the illusion of change. And they were going back and forth. And halfway through the conversation, the guy goes, I don't know, Peter David and Kurt Busiek. I know of you, but you might know of me. On the blogs, I'm the dreaded El Politico.
Oh.
Literally said that in quotes. I'm the dreaded El Politico. And everybody just looked at each other and went, nope, never heard of you. He was deflated.
I assume people in my own house don't know who I am.
I'm your father. No, not ringing any bells.
Likely story.
Exactly. Your husband, we made a child.
I've seen pictures of a guy that looks just like you. Don't you have a twin? Aren't you him?
Mm-hmm. But he didn't have a beard.
No, he doesn't have a beard. That's true.
Mm-hmm. So is Justin Grant doing anything?
Yes, he is doing a Vietnam era picture, mm-hmm. Alongside such actors as Ed Harris and Samuel Jackson.
That's right. Remember Vietnam? It was a war, not a movie.
Mm-hmm. He is actually like one of the top billed people. It's a movie called The Last Full Measure.
Well, he has plenty of time to film it while they're off.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? But we'll see.
We shall see. So I think we did a show this week.
Yes, we did a lot of show.
Yes.
Awesome show. We crushed it this week, Joe.
We'll see how much we crush it when I have to go edit everything together.
Yeah, you do that. You know what I got to go do, right?
You have an important nap to take.
That's right. No, wait. I just want you to know, as I always say to people, most people take naps. I take awakes. This is one of my awakes.
Oh, my goodness. So is there anything else we need to cover? Anything that I forgot or missed that you need to remind me of?
No, I'm good.
All right, everyone. So for closing out episode 348 of Long Box Heroes, for Todd, this is Joe, and we'll catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop!
Right. Now, did Ryback teach him this? This seems like something Ryback would do.
No, the Ryback scam was with the coupons.
Oh, I thought it was with Smokey Bones.
Well, it is. When he worked at Smokey Bones.
Okay. You never told me what the scam
was. Okay, so here's what the scam was. So, him and a bunch of the other guys that were in World Wrestling Entertainment Developmental,
mm-hmm.
they would go and get the Sunday paper when there was the Smokey Bones flyer in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be the gimmick of, buy one entree, get the other entree for free.
Mm-hmm.
So they would go and just steal all of those coupons out of the paper. They wouldn't even buy the paper. They would just steal the coupons out of them.
Right.
So then, while working at Smokey Bones, they would try to upsell people to get, like, whatever the highest item on the menu was. Then, when going to ring up their bill, they would use the coupon themselves and pocket the difference of the buy one, get one free meal.
Okay.
And that was the Smokey Bones scam.
Oh, my God. So, but the person would have to buy, like, if it was a group, is what you're saying.
Well, no, like, say you and I go in.
It has to be at least two people who were buying stuff.
Right. Have you gone to Smokey Bones lately?
No.
I unfortunately had to go there this past week for Ace's preschool graduation.
Oh, God.
I had to return there after I swore I would never go back. So they have a gimmick now where they bring, like, a miniature grill out to the table.
Oh!
And you cook, like, the items on there, and they, like, recommend it for, like, 2 to 4 people, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So anyway, let's say...
I got what's going on.
Okay, so let's say we all go, right? We go, mm-hmm. there's four of us, and they get us to upsell and get two of those grills, right?
Mm-hmm.
The grill's like $30. So we all together, the four of us who went, got the two grills, we pay our $60 for our two grills. When Ryback goes and checks us out, he uses the coupon to make one of them for free. He pockets that $30.
Oh, my God.
Right. Hence the Smokey Bone scam.
He must have made a lot of money.
Well, you know, $30, you know, you run that scam, however many coupons you have, you run it a couple times a weekend, you might be up an extra $300 for the night.
That's a lot for a waiter.
It certainly is.
For a gassed up waiter.
Right.